be seated. Song of invitation this morning is 736. 736.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to start by thanking this congregation for allowing me to preach this morning. We just love visiting up here, and we thank you again for the support that you gave us. It's such a blessing to us, and we're thankful that we're able to study God's Word full-time at Bear Valley Bible Institute. So this morning, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I don't know about you, but we all need reminders. And this book is full of reminders, and especially this first chapter here. So I'll start by reading verses 4 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. I don't know about you, but like most people, I need reminders every day. And my wife probably thinks that I need more reminders than the average person. But everyday reminders are important. For example, we need them in marriage. Our spouse might know that we love them, but not until we tell them every day that we love them. They need those reminders, those verbal reminders. Friendships, for example. We need to be able to tell our friends that we are thinking about them, that we care about them, that that we want to, you know, see each other soon. Things of that nature. We need appointment reminders. We have these fancy cell phones that'll pop up reminders for appointments we have for doctors or for different things. We also have calendars and sticky notes all over the refrigerator. These things are important, but I think what is more important are spiritual reminders and how we should act as Christians, how to love one another, and how to serve. I think in these verses here, we can learn all those things. In verses 4 and 10, we see these words, for by these, and in verse 10, it says, therefore, we'll be all more diligent to make certain about his calling, choosing his, for as long as you practice these things. Well, what are these things that he's talking about? What is Peter trying to remind us of? Well, I think these things start in verse 5. So in verse 5, it says, for now for this very reason also, apply all diligence. Well, first of all, what very reason is he talking about? Well, verse 4 says to escape the corruption of the world and also to be partakers in the divine nature. That's the reason Peter's reminding of these things. These are reminders, they're reminders in this passage that Peter is trying to remind everyone of. Applying all diligence in your faith is the first reminder. And we see faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that it's the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Because we have hope and assurance in the eternal life, the following qualities, these things can supply our faith. In your faith, supply moral excellence. Well, how does one add moral excellence to one's faith? Well, we must imitate Christ. One of my teachers, Michael Hite, he has a video on this passage, and he says something really profound that I want to include in this. He says that we gain a moral compass through trying to live the way God wants us to live. And I like that idea of a compass, that if you can imagine with me that the North Arrow is Jesus. And as long as we have to look at that the North Arrow as being Jesus, we have a guide. And we know exactly where to go and how to be morally excellent. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. Now, I haven't taken Greek yet, but I know just enough to get myself in trouble. But here, we see that this translated knowledge is gnosko in Greek. And there's two different types of knowledges in Greek. There's gnoso and oida. And oida is book knowledge. Gnosko is an experiential knowledge. And this is what we see here in that's translated gnosko. And if you want to, there's an example that I'd like to use. Before I went to Bear Valley, I was a CDL driver. So I drove my dad's dump truck. I hauled, actually worked on the troublesome fire up here last summer, hauling his dozer. And when you get your CDL, you have to have OIDA knowledge first. You have to read these books. You have to see, learn about how to use air brakes. You have to learn how to shift gears first before you even jump in the truck through a book. Then, it's not until you're driving 60 miles an hour down a highway with a full load, that's gnosko knowledge, and I think that's here what Peter's talking about. In Hosea 4, you don't have to turn here, verse 6, God speaking through the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being my priest. Since you've forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children." Now, what happened to God's people in Hosea when they lacked knowledge? They were rejected. Could that happen to us when we reject the knowledge of God? We Christians need knowledge, biblical knowledge. It strengthens us spiritually and keeps us from falling back into the world we are supposed to be separate from, to escape the corruption, like verse 4. Now, verse 6 says, "And in your knowledge, self-control." Now that we have the knowledge, we have to do the gnosko. It's self-control. Now that we have the knowledge, we know how to control ourselves. The ability to say no and having self-discipline. Having the strength to do the things God wants us to do and not do the things that he doesn't want us to do. You know people that have no self-control. It's usually everything they do and say, it's driven by physical drives and emotion. And, of course, the road rage guy, the guy in the store who's impatient because the line is taking forever. It's these people that they don't have no self-control. Now, you can always tell, though, the mature Christians, that because they can have that self-control over everything in their life. They think before they act on anything, and they have full mastery of their body and minds. If we are to have self-control or temperance, in King James Version, this is translated temperance, we must look to the one who demonstrated perfect self-control. Of course, that's Jesus. He was tempted by Satan in every way, but would never sin. The end of Hebrews 4:15, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 4:15 says, "But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." In your self-control, perseverance. Now, it's not enough to have self-control once and be done. It's something we must do over and over again. And BDAG, which is just a biblical dictionary, defines perseverance as the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty, patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness. Now, holding fast, bracing for impact, and being able to hold against the onslaught. What would that onslaught be, though? The world around us, of course, is that onslaught. And it's the worldly coworkers that we work with, the ads on TV, the billboards, social media, the pool of entertainment. I know I get sucked into YouTube and Netflix. It's easy. And when that pulls you away from Bible study, that stuff is bombarding us constantly. It could be trials in life, like family members being sick or personal ailments. The list can go on, and persevering through life, holding against onslaught, is that journey onto the eternal kingdom. In your perseverance, number 6 is godliness. And I think this is where the list changes into a different type of quality. Before, it was things people, it's been different before. This is where it changes here. It's actually, it's how things are impacted directly, the things you do are directly impacting other people. So godliness is it's impacting other people. Before it was a personal thing. You were working on these personal things. Now the list changes into this thing of how other people are impacted by you. Godliness is the opposite of worldliness. And the world has its way that's not right with God. Having godliness in your faith means you are wanting to do his will and simply be like Jesus. That in turn will create an impact on the people around you. I'm sure if there's any converts in here, if you worked with anyone who was not a Christian, you became a Christian, they see that Jesus is working in you. They see the changes that are happening by the change of your heart. And so that's godliness. People notice that. In verse 7, in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And I think kindness goes hand in hand with encouragement. We see that Peter doesn't just say kindness, but brotherly kindness, indicating a kindness that and encouragement to brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, the bride of Christ. Have you ever visited a congregation and met a brother or sister that's less than kind to you? That shouldn't be. That should be opposite of that. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Your kindness to your brothers and sisters in Christ has a lot more effect than you know. They might have had a bad week at work. They might be having a trial in their life, and seeing your smiling face on Sunday morning and hearing your encouraging words when you walk through that door might just be what they needed to keep pressing on. And finally, in your brotherly kindness, love. And this, of course, is the term agape, loving someone when they don't deserve it. And that's including loving your enemies, as Jesus says in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. But if you are practicing these qualities, I think this one will come easy. If you've noticed, all these are building off of each other. And they grow together at the same time. And some of them might come easier for others than some, and might come harder for others. And let's read verses 8 and 9. And it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins. Now, there's that word, these qualities, again. And verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Now, here you see he's using that word diligent again in verse 10. In these things, you will never stumble. Now, have you ever been taught something at work? Or I'm experiencing this now with my 4-year-old son. You tell him how to do something, and he does something completely opposite. It usually never works out, right? Well, that's the same thing here. That if you do what God says here, you're not going to stumble. But there's a misconception some people you have here when they read this, that you might, when you stumble, that you're not saved anymore. No, you stumble and you're not right with God. Well, that's not what this means. Here it says, it means that you will not stumble on your way to heaven. That you have a straight path right to heaven. No missteps. And you won't miss heaven. And you never stumble on the way to verse 11. And that verse 11 kind of explains that a little better. It says, for this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And that's where you're not going to miss. If you are, if you have these qualities, if you are diligent, that you will not stumble into this eternal kingdom, and it will be abundantly supplied to you. If you supply these qualities to your faith, like verse 5, God will supply you entrance into the eternal kingdom. And that is such an encouragement, and that sounds so amazing. And so I'm going to read verses 12 through 15, and this kind of concludes this passage here. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I will also be diligent, that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. To conclude this passage, 12 through 15 can be summed up as Peter telling us something we already know, that he's already told these Christians these things before, that he's just stirring them up and reminding them. And if you look at, and I think I missed this in the beginning of my sermon here, but in verses, there's two purpose statements in this book. It's verse 13 of chapter 1, by way of reminder, and verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring you up, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." So, we see that these Christians have been told this before, that they already knew this. But Peter's reminding them again. And we all need reminders, whether they be physical reminders of our tasks every day or spiritual reminders to get us back and continue to shine our light. Now, the corruption of the world is all around us, but we can escape from it when we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, I hope this lesson has stirred you up today and to remind you of some of these things that you might be lacking in your faith, that you might have forgotten about, or just want, maybe it just reassured you to keep on keeping on. Brother Way Wallace, who is a preacher down in Bayfield, Colorado, where Lindsay and I are from, he said something last year that really stuck with me that I think is it kind of adds to this nicely. He said, "Preach the gospel every day and speak if needed." And I think our actions can be noticed, and if we supply our faith and with these qualities, the world will see it and the church will be encouraged by it. And if this lesson has pricked your heart this morning, please come forward if you need prayers. And as we sing the song of invitation, if you are not a member of the one church you find in the New Testament,